Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor. Try it again. This is why I want to record it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor. Yeah, Playing Doctor is our new podcast where we watch and discuss an episode of the hit BBC series Doctor Who every week. I guess this week we'll take a few seconds to introduce ourselves and talk about the show format.
Yeah.
Okay. So every week, I guess we're going to discuss an episode of the new Doctor Who series.
Mm-hmm. Starting with the first episode, 2005, Rose.
Right. Occasionally, we're going to cross the time streams and discuss an episode of the classic series. So something from John Pertwee or Tom Baker, those guys. Mm-hmm.
The Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I don't like to call it the original series. It's, you know, because supposedly this is all the same continuity.
Well, yeah.
But it's the classic series that I grew up with.
Yeah.
I guess time to time we're going to have a guest join us and discuss their thoughts on the episode that we're talking about that week.
I can't wait.
Well, the idea I'm thinking is we try to get people with different levels of experience. So maybe some hardcore fans, or maybe a week we'll have somebody who's just completely new to the episodes.
Right.
Oh, and when the new series actually comes back and starts running first-run episodes every week, we're going to have an additional podcast every week where we discuss that episode.
And we'll do a little bit of news and other rumors and theories revolving around that episode.
So. That will be clearly marked as being filled with spoilers. But I guess the
spoilers!
I guess the idea is to keep this podcast spoiler-free and just talk about episodes that have been out for a while. So that way, if you're just coming into the series, you're not going to have it ruined for you. But at the same time, if you've been watching it for a while, it'll be a nice discussion about the episodes. And hopefully, on our website, we'll set up some forums or
something.
maybe a Facebook page of some kind.
Ooh. Fancy.
Yeah. So, a little bit about us. I've been doing podcasting now for, I guess, 2 years.
Really?
Maybe three, yeah. I started on the old Power Geeks podcast.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, back when I used to do that. And then I picked up on, when that ended, started with Dork Trek.
Yes, and I'm also on Dork Trek.
Yeah.
DorkTrek.com.
Yeah, we have to go ahead and, I guess, plug them so you know they don't get mad that we take a night off to record this instead of watching Star Trek. Because we can like both.
We go both ways.
Yeah. We like the BBC and we like TNG. You know, I'm an occasional web cartoonist at racomics.com, and I've been watching Doctor Who since it first started airing on my local PBS channel way back in the 1980s.
So you were like 210 then?
Yeah. I was a lot younger.
Okay. Personally, I've only been watching for about 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. I started with the 2005 series and worked forward from there. And I've been kind of going back to the classic series, kind of like what we're going to do on the show, going back and crossing the time streams in the Wayback Machine.
Going to the roots of the show.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember back when you first started watching Doctor Who, you had said something, because we used to talk on Twitter a lot, like way too much. And I'm pretty sure it was something about Douglas Adams. Somebody had mentioned, because you're a Hitchhiker's Guide fan.
Yes.
And
yeah, one of my friends is a huge Doctor Who fan, and he was always trying to get me watching the show. Never really seemed to get into it that much. And, you know, he's telling me, oh, you got to watch it. Douglas Adams used to write some of the older episodes. And so eventually I'll check it out, whatever. And I caught an episode once. It was actually the end of the first series. I saw the last two episodes and I was like, this actually looks really interesting. So I finally got hooked on it and went back and started watching from there. So,
okay, that's awesome. So, is that it? We're introduced?
I kind of skipped around on mine.
Oh. Is there anything else you want to add?
I'm not really very interesting.
Oh. No, you have a very interesting Twitter following.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, people love me on Twitter.
I don't know why.
Probably because I say random shit all the time.
No, you say random shit and you're like really rude to people sometimes.
I am.
You come across as mean, but you're a really nice person.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. Just in real life.
But in my real life,
uh-huh.
I am a graphic designer.
Okay.
And I'm also a server at a Scottish-British restaurant called The Highlander. And I'm also a lifelong Beatles fan. My mom basically raised me on the Beatles from before I was born.
Would you consider yourself an Anglophile?
Yes. Yes.
You like all things British.
Yes.
And you love the BBC.
I do. Okay. I love the BBC.
Got it. So I just wanted that so I could clip that out. For, use that as a sound file.
Okay.
Okay. I guess we're talking this week about season one, episode one, Rose.
Yeah.
And it first aired March of 2005.
Mm-hmm. So, which I wasn't watching it then, so I'll have to take your word for that.
Right. I actually, with a new series, did not... I was anticipating it. I was waiting for it, but I couldn't get it. I didn't know about those illegal torrents back in the day.
The what now?
Yeah. Apparently, people unethically download things from the internets.
Oh, you don't say.
Illegally. And
you don't say.
Yeah. And of course, we are totally against that here because...
Yes.
That would be illegal, and I wouldn't want to put ourselves in jeopardy of being sued.
No, no, absolutely not.
Especially since Doctor Who usually airs on BBC America.
Yeah.
And the first six seasons, or first six series...
You can get them on Netflix now.
Netflix. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's what we've been watching in preparation for this podcast.
Yes. And of course, you can always get them on DVD or probably on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about Blu-ray, but I know they're on DVD. You can get, like, season sets and mm-hmm. things like that. So when this came on in 2005, though, it had been 9 years since the Doctor Who TV movie came on Fox, and it had been 16 years since a production of the regularly airing weekly episodes. So there was like this long, dark time of the 90s. And people kind of go both ways with the Paul McGann 1996 movie.
Not so good.
It was on Fox. So even if, because that was supposed to be kind of like a possible pilot for a new series.
And I'm glad that never got made.
Can you imagine every week watching Doctor Who on Fox?
No. Not, it could have been good, but that pilot, if that was what they used to pitch that to the network, not good.
Well, one, Fox is famous for canceling shows that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have probably had 14 episodes, 15 episodes. They would have aired 12 of them out of order and then mm-hmm. canceled the show, like they did with My Precious Firefly.
And Sliders.
And Sliders lasted for a long time.
Yeah, but that was not so good either. Well, after the first season.
My thing, what I would worry about, though, is with it being originally a British show and then becoming an American show, is that you would lose something...
Yeah.
The translation. I've seen that happen a lot where shows that are popular in England and then they try to make an American version and it's rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that definitely would have happened on American TV.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, just going off of the first episode, which was not very good at all.
Right.
That was, that was just setting the pace for the rest of the series that never got made. So I'm kind of glad it just ended there.
Yeah. So, I mean, but Paul McGann's character, I mean, his Eighth Doctor, become pretty popular in the other media, in the books and the audio dramas. And that's something I don't really get into. And I think we're going to have to either start checking those out or have people on the show who do.
I think we're going to have people on the show who do. Yeah. Because I don't think I'm going to get into those.
Yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of good things about them, but because of my background in Star Trek, my version of canon has always been, if it's on screen, that's the canon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't count the, most fans don't count the books, don't count, the comics, don't count, all the little fan fiction and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently because of the production gap and everything, and the producers of these audio dramas and books, and they're BBC licensed and everything, a lot of fans will tend to take that as canon.
Yeah.
Which I, because of my Trek background, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. But I guess Star Wars fans, with their expanded universe, would be more open to that.
With the Star Wars universe, some of it's canon and some of it's not, so I guess you just kind of have to know which ones are which, from what I understand anyway. I've never gotten into that.
And that's why it's always been easier for me to just go by what's on screen.
Exactly.
But even with Doctor Who, with almost 50 years of episodes, there's going to be some, sliding and things changing and this happened, but it didn't happen.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Yeah. And that's the neat thing about a show about time travel is you could always just explain it away that, it changed.
Changed,
as long as it's not a fixed point in time.
Yes.
Which we'll discuss, I guess, in later episodes. So anyway, this time we're talking about Rose. When the episode starts at 7:30 in the morning, as the alarm go off, we see Billie Piper, who is the actress playing Rose.
Yeah. And she's a pop star in England, right? She's like the Britney Spears of England.
Something like that. I mean, she had like, what was it? She was the youngest person to debut a number one hit in England. And then she had somewhat successful career. But then I guess in 2003, she decided she wanted to go to her first, back to her first love of acting, which I guess had been her goal when she was younger. And you're talking about somebody who's 15, 16. And, well, my first love was acting.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess she took some acting classes and appeared on a few things in England and then got chosen for this part.
Because it worked out well for her then.
Yeah. And so I guess one of the first things that we pick up is that Rose is white trash.
Yeah.
Or I think that would be the American equivalent.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not really sure what the British version of white trash is, but
I guess the closest version would be like chav.
Okay. It's pretty obvious that she's coming from a lower socioeconomic group.
Yeah. She's white trash.
She's not posh.
White trash.
I don't know if I'd call her white trash, but yeah.
White trash.
She lives in the projects.
Yeah. Come on, when you see her mom, you know that's white trash.
Yeah.
She's white trash.
I mean, that's what we'd call it here.
And I think for the purposes of this show, we'll just go ahead and say white trash.
White trash. Right. And we see her busying around, going through her day, going to her work at Henrik's department store.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a little like a Rebecca Black video at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I guess this episode was on a Friday.
Yeah, definitely.
I
partying,
thought,
partying, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Running and running, yeah. So just to skip around a little bit, though, you know, she meets the doctor and just mannequins come to life and the adventure begins with run.
Yeah. I love that was the first word that you hear him say in the new series is run, because that kind of just sets the tone for everything else after that. That's all they do is just kind of run, you know? Yeah.
So we don't know who this guy is. He's just some guy with big ears and
A leather jacket,
grabbing her hand and telling her to run from the walking mannequins.
And because she's brilliant, you know, she's just going to take anybody's hand and just run with them.
I'm thinking if mannequins have come to life.
No, I'll give her that. I'll give her that.
If somebody who isn't a mannequin grabs your hand and says run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I would go ahead and do that.
But she does kind of just start following him wherever he goes, like, pretty much immediately.
Well, yeah. But, you know, big ears and leather, that's...
Mm.
Yeah, that turns white trash on, apparently. It's hot.
Big ears, leather, or black eyes?
Yeah, on the BBC.
Yeah.
That's something, and again, we'll probably go just jump around the episode a lot. Something I noticed in the new series almost immediately, and I don't know if it's actually the demographic in England, or if it was just the BBC trying to be more diverse, but every time you see a couple... In the new series, there's a good chance they're going to be an interracial couple or somebody's gay.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe both.
Or a gay interracial couple. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head if we've seen that.
It'll happen eventually.
But that's what we see here, because then we meet Mickey the Idiot.
Yeah, her wonderful, wonderful boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who, after the encounter with the mannequins, the store blows up and he says, "Let's go to the pub." Oh, there's a match on, isn't there?
Oh, no.
How would I? No, there's a match on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to, after she's had this traumatic experience, he wants to take her down to the pub so he can watch football.
Yeah.
Because he's a great boyfriend. But he's going to take her out for a drink. Yeah. His treat.
No, he doesn't. They don't really clarify if it's football. What if it's cricket?
It could be cricket.
Yeah, but chances are it's football.
Yeah.
Or as we say in America.
Soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah. Soccer.
Soccer. Association rules football. I don't know. When the doctor comes back the next day, though, he's walking around the house talking to Rose or their apartment or whatever in the Jex. And he's acting like he's still pretty early on in his regeneration. And the episode kind of indicates he's made a few appearances before he's got here.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Like, he's looking in the mirror and he's kind of like, oh, look at those ears. You know, like he's kind of seeing himself for the first time.
Right.
And then come to find out later on, this guy's been researching him and finds all these photos of him from the Titanic and from, it was like Krakatoa. And of course the JFK assassination, which, you know, I think is kind of a requirement to put in anything that has to do with time travel. You know, they have this poorly photoshopped picture of the Doctor's face there on the grassy knoll. You know.
Well, no, he was in the crowd scene with, you know, as the Kennedy limousine passes by before the shots ring out. The unnerving thing, though, is that he's looking right at the camera.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
You know, it's like, yeah, I'm here.
What? What, bitch? What?
Yeah. And then the other thing, though, with this, that being November 22nd, 1963, mm-hmm. that was actually the day before the Doctor Who series originally began broadcasting on November 23rd, 1963.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another piece of the puzzle in the conspiracy.
So he went ahead and showed up before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that I've seen talked about online over the years since this first aired was, you know, when they're trying to explain, well, he's acting like he's new to his regeneration, but then this guy has pictures of him. Could this have possibly happened after? Could he have gone to these places after? Because it's time travel.
That's true. No, that is true.
But looking at the remainder of the series, Rose was pretty handy during the whole thing. We don't have very many gaps that would be unexplained. Like, oh, we haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. It, you know, the series is going to lead one episode to the next.
You would think that you would see Rose in the pictures at some point.
Right. And that would have been a good touch.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, you're there too.
Yeah, because when she meets Clive from the website and everything, and she would look at the pictures and say, oh, that's weird. There's a girl there that kind of looks like me.
Yeah, Clive is this nice guy who runs a website called Who is Doctor Who?
Yeah.
And a cool thing is the Beeb went ahead and put that up.
Oh, that is cool.
They actually, you know, made the website that you could go visit, and it was just like the website that appears in this episode, which using, what was it you said, her Google Foo skills.
Yes. She just goes on Google and types, Doctor, living plastic, Doctor, blue box.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, Clive must be very popular, though, because the first hit with Dr. Blue Box was his website.
Yeah.
Who is Doctor Who? Question mark.
So I guess he, you know, he's got the website skills where he's got the blue box and he's got Doctor and all these things and his meta tags so that whenever somebody searches for that, then it comes up near the top.
Well, I just don't know anything about him. I don't see how he knew about the blue box, though, because none of his pictures had a blue box in it. Maybe these were, like, historical reports that he's gotten from others about this thing called Doctor.
Well, there could have been some other photos that they didn't show us, you know, because she's kind of talked to him for a few minutes that wasn't on screen, so.
Oh, okay.
Let's just pretend that he knew about the blue box.
Well, when she shows up at Clive's house to ask questions about this doctor, you know, and his kids are like, yeah, it's another one of your nutters coming about the website, Dad. But his wife is upstairs, and he says that, oh, yeah, you know, she's come to ask about the doctor.
Oh, your website reader's a she? Oh, wow.
Yeah, she seemed a little too happy that...
like, here's this girl, come to meet my husband.
And go into the back shed.
Yeah, why would a wife be that excited about that? It just...
About some random girl coming
All kinds of little flags just started going up for me. Like, is she trying to pawn off her husband?
No.
Is she trying to go for a three-way? Oh, she likes to watch.
She's a watcher. She's got the laundry basket, and there's some naughty things she's going to do.
And there's probably hidden cameras in the shed.
Oh, yeah, all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sends the kids across the street to grandma's, to one of those empty townhouses.
Your kids watch Teletubbies.
Go take the empty trash barrel out.
Yeah.
Which, that was kind of a weird thing.
That was weird.
When they pull up, I guess Mickey's going to stay in the car.
Because overprotective boyfriend is making sure that she's not going to get raped and murdered when she goes to talk to the crazy guy from the internet.
Yeah, so
which is good, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I'll sit in the car while you go into the crazy guy from the internet's house. And then I can't do or see anything.
Yeah, that didn't really make much sense.
But while he's out there, one of the neighbors is taking his trash bin out.
Kind of looks at him weird.
Yeah.
He's racist.
Well, yeah, because you got a strange guy in a Volkswagen in your neighborhood. You, of course, get suspicious.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is when Mickey gets out, because the trash can starts moving around and making noise, he opens it up and looks inside, and it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought my, you know, it's like, why is this guy bringing an empty trash can?
Yeah, really didn't make sense.
But then, weirdly, the trash can attacks him, and I guess it looks as if it eats him.
Yeah.
So,
like, the first sighting of the cheesy special effects that this episode is so good at doing, when Mickey's hands start melting into the plastic, and... You know,
it was some cheap CGI.
Yeah. Well, this was kind of the pilot. I guess maybe they had a low budget for it.
Yeah.
You know, so they...
And the classic series, though, the special effects in this are light years beyond the classic series.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're talking about the CGI being bad, but we didn't see any guys in rubber suits. Well, I guess we did see plenty of guys in rubber suits.
Yeah. So. But mannequin
suits. Yeah, the mannequins, though, looked pretty good. Because we took a few scenes from the old John Pertwee, the third Doctor. We looked at those episodes where the Autons, which these creatures are, and the first mannequins that came to life. And they looked atrocious.
Yes, they were just people in like these horrible, horrible plastic masks with empty eyes. Yeah.
That's so the actor could see as he's walking around.
But you couldn't see their eyes behind it. It was just this kind of weird shadow. And it was
never seen a mannequin like that in any store.
No.
Maybe this was a 1970s thing.
Really creepy.
Yes.
I never would go shopping if I had to go back in time to the 1970s because I would be creeped out by all the mannequins with the
eye sockets. I think that's only the eye the Autons.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess this establishes as a return of the nesting consciousness, which first appeared back in the John Pertwee era, back in the early 70s, 1970. And then I guess the last time they appeared was in 1971, in Terror of the Autons.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, back then, though, the whole thing was that the Autons came to Earth. They would take over a plastics company, start making their special plastic creatures, and then those creatures could come to life, like dolls, chairs, mannequins.
Happy Meal toys.
Yeah, anything made out of plastic that they made. But in this, it seemed that the nesting consciousness could make any plastic come to life.
Right.
Using their special radio telepathic boom, boom, boom out of the giant Ferris wheel.
Well, I think their telepathic technology has improved since 1971.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. Because now they can just animate anything rather than having to make their own plastic. It's a little bit more efficient.
So the last appearance of the Autons was in 1971, and that was my first appearance. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Are you made of plastic?
If I am, I'm fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm a small wonder. There was a show.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was the song. She's made of plastic, really fantastic. She's a small... Yeah, anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was plastic people walking around. So, you know, we've got Rose being pretty dumb, because when she comes out of Clive's, she doesn't notice that Mickey is now quite visibly different.
Yes, because the trash can has spit him back out as a plastic
copy of Mickey.
Yeah.
And she has
he looks like a freaking Ken doll.
Yeah.
Basically. Just really shiny looking and like perfect hairline and just he's kind of twitchy and weird. And
but they decide to go get pizza.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. That's what you do after you talk to some internet creeper.
Right.
And they go get the pizza. And while they're sitting there, he's interrogating her about the doctor and, you know, where is he and stuff.
Yakety yak, 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 yak.
And she's so self-absorbed that she has no clue that the guy sitting across from her is made of plastic and looks like he's made of plastic.
Even when he starts talking like Max Headroom, she's still kind of clueless.
Babe, sweet, babe, babe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you talking like that? What's going on?
I'm white trash. I don't know any better. So, she doesn't notice. The doctor shows up. A fight breaks out. Everybody in the restaurant's screaming.
But they're sitting there watching.
Sitting there watching until Rose hits the fire alarm.
Yeah, and then tells everyone to get out. Oh, yeah, I guess we could get out since this guy with the weird-looking skin just turned his hand into a giant, like, hammer, chopped a table in half, and then some other guy pulled his head off.
Well, he pulled his head off, and then the body got the hands and started chopping.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember which order it was in. But
it was the thing is that it's like, the guy just ripped another guy's head off. We should leave. No, wait for the alarm.
Maybe I still got to pay my bill. I'm going to finish this beer.
Do we leave a tip? Because the table kind of got smashed. I don't know. Would you expect a tip after that?
Yes. It's not my fault.
Well, would you expect anybody to pay? I mean, after there's like this headless thing chopping up the place?
You know, as a waitress, it's not my fault that a plastic guy came in, smashed up the place, and left.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
That's part of my salary is getting tips.
Yeah. Doctor uses this head that he's now removed to trace the signal back to, or try to trace the signal back to where it came from. In the meanwhile, though, Rose is somewhat upset that Mickey is possibly dead and replaced.
What?
I'm not worried about one talking monkey when I've got to save the whole planet.
Yeah. It's basically like, so what? So what?
I'm trying to say 7 billion people and you're worried about one guy.
Yeah. Which really kind of goes against some other things that the doctor says later on. I won't get into it too much, but he's always been kind of a fan of humans, as far as I've seen.
And very protective.
Yeah, and even sometimes somebody has said something like, you know, I'm just one person, who am I? And he says, are you kidding? You're a human, you're fantastic, you know. And this is just a few years later, and this episode he's like,
I've had that explained, though, as far as part of his personality being kind of cold and callous, is that he's coming off the Great Time War, which mm-hmm. kind of later when he's talking to the nesting consciousness, he mentions that, you know, the war, you know, mm-hmm. he was in the war. And a lot of people have said that this doctor, you know, was basically regenerated out of that war or in that war.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's more militaristic, more
probably, you know, just a little bit colder.
Yeah, he's seen some action. He's been you know, waist deep in the shit. He doesn't have time for all the niceties.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see as the seasons go on that Rose helps mellow him out a little bit,
right?
Make him more, you know, cuddly,
right? And just something about the Time War, for anybody who's just getting into the series at this point, you're not really missing anything. It's not something that was explained in a previous show.
No,
it just, you know,
as you watch the episodes, you learn just little bits and bits and pieces about it as you go on.
Yeah,
but it's you know, like here, it's just, you know, the war. They refer to the war,
mm-hmm.
and him having served and fought in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And the nesting consciousness, I guess, lost some of their protein planets during this war.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. And so they've started seeking out other sources of food, and apparently our planet is going to be one of them, because they like polluted industrial societies.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. And so, of course, England is the first place they go.
Because that's where aliens always go.
Yeah. I would have thought if you were looking for a polluted, you know, industrialized place, they would have shown up at one of the Apple factories in China. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Because China, you know, like hyper polluted or whatever. And
yeah. Just a big smog pit.
Yeah.
But no, they show up in England.
Oh, yeah. So what does that say about England in the Doctor Who universe?
They're dirty, kind dirty smoggy people.
No. But, you know, they kind of did have the Industrial Revolution there. So
that's true.
Yeah. Maybe there's some holdover stuff from that. But, yeah. So the Doctor confronts the nesting consciousness after they track him down under the giant Ferris wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is one of the first places they mentioned the Shadow Proclamation.
Oh, is it? Yeah. They didn't mention that in any of the classic episodes?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
So he says that, you know, he wants to, you know, have some parlance under Article 15 of the Shadow Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be something that pops up occasionally from time to time mm-hmm. over the next few years. But he then starts talking, but, you know, discussing this whole thing with the cheesy special effect giant plastic thing.
Yeah, it just basically looked like a big lava pit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I loved how this whole scene kind of looked like it was like a goth club or like scenes from an industrial music video or something like this. You know, there's just chains everywhere and there's red light and smoke. And
see, I've never been to the goth club, but you said when they opened up the manhole to go down to the nesting consciousness. But
yeah, I felt like they were just going into like a really secret underground club.
Is it, well, when you say underground, like it's... Like,
literally underground.
It's, okay. It's, not that it's not just mainstream, but it is also underground physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where goth clubs, this would happen.
Yeah,
I could go pull the manhole cover out front, and there's possible.
Let's go try it.
After the show, we can go out to the parking lot and pull the manhole cover and see if...
Well, there may not be a club there.
Yeah, this isn't like a very hip part of town.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No. I think you have to be in a real city like London or New York, Duluth.
So I can't go to downtown Norfolk to maybe like Ghent or somewhere and...
No, I think you're going to find something completely different there.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure there's not like a sewer system here. It's more of a storm drain.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They figure out the doctor's got some anti-plastic that will kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize he's a Time Lord and it sees the TARDIS. And now it's tripping balls and getting really upset.
Now it's pissed.
The Autons have, you know, detained the doctor. Oh no, what are we going to do?
And meanwhile, up in the town, all the mannequins have come to life in like every shop in downtown London and are attacking people in shopping malls and wherever else.
Which is setting up the tradition that the shopping districts of London are the most dangerous places to be when the doctor's in town.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially on Christmas, as you guys will find out soon enough.
Now, something I did notice, though, is that the mannequins broke the glass as they came to life.
Yes, which and would make sense.
Well, yeah, but we were looking at the old 1970 episode when we first see the Autons, and we only heard the glass break off screen, but we never actually saw breaking glass. Yeah. So apparently the budget has increased enough that you can break windows now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
So I guess in 1971, they all just kind of politely stepped down out of the window, went and opened the front door.
Yes.
So...
But we still hear glass breaking. So yeah. It broke, we just didn't see it.
Okay.
And then none of the shop windows that they ran past later had any broken glass.
Well, that was the one impolite Auton that broke the glass. All the rest of them just walked around.
You shouldn't do that, Mark.
Yeah, that's not nice. That's somebody's property.
Yeah.
There are no victimless crimes.
Yeah, somebody has to pay for that. And somebody has to clean that up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly the discussion they had.
Yeah.
So now we've found Mickey the Idiot as he's cowering off to the side.
Yeah.
Rose has been tending to him while the doctor has his discussion.
She's kind of cowering, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got giant thing of living plastic talking and mannequins walking about.
Yeah.
And, but now she's made the hero's journey and has decided, well, nobody's going to save us. I might as well do it.
But let me narrate everything I say first. Like, yeah. I do gymnastics and stuff.
Yeah, she sets up all that.
Yeah.
Then you'll never have anything to do in your life, but you've got your bronze gymnastics trophy that'll come in handy right now.
Yeah.
As you save the doctor. Yay.
After she gets done talking.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
It reminds me of some of the old Super Friends episodes, the cartoons when I was a kid. The boulder's coming down the mountain toward the village, and Superman stands at the bottom going, "That boulder will smash the village unless someone stops it. I should fly toward it quickly, and maybe the impact will destroy the boulder before it destroys the town."
Right.
In the time it's taking them to explain what they're going to do, it would have had time to destroy the city.
Exactly.
But then he flies up and saves the day.
Less talking, more action, basically.
But that's what Rose does here.
Yeah.
Narrates her rescue of the doctor. And during the rescue, the anti-plastic falls into the nesting consciousness, and yay, it dies.
Yay.
You killed something. That's awesome. But that was the thing, though. When they first came into here, he's got the anti-plastic, and she says, "Are you going to, you know, use it? You go kill it?" He's like, "No, I'm going to give it a chance."
Yeah, because that's kind of his thing.
That seems to be the running thing, because we were clipping through, like, three different doctors last night. And the one consistent thing that we saw in each episode was when he confronted the bad guy.
Yeah, he would always give him a chance.
You get a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to stop doing the bad thing you're doing.
And then no mercy, basically.
And then no mercy.
Yeah.
Because, hey, you had a chance. I did like the I am talking scene here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he's trying to talk to the nesting consciousness and it's making a bunch of noise, and he very boldly says, "I am talking!"
Yeah, which is a good call to later series.
Yeah, when people who've watched the series, I had missed this.
I completely forgot that, because I haven't seen this episode in probably a couple of years
now. Yeah, it's been at least... Jeez, 3-4 years for me too.
Yeah.
Because I would usually watch the season over and over while it was on. And then when the next series starts, I would, you know, watch those. And so I don't go back year by year. So it's been a while. And that completely caught me off guard.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny.
And if you stick around the show for a while and catch up to the modern time, you'll hit an episode or two where that becomes very funny.
Yeah. Trust us. It'll be funny. Trust.
So now,
they teleport out.
Yep. That's something I noticed on this, and maybe the later episodes of the classic series, it wasn't as big of a thing. But in the old days, the TARDIS wasn't that accurate when it came to flying around.
Right.
She didn't make short trips too well.
Right.
I mean, she could go across the spans of the galaxy and land on a dime, but if you wanted to go down the block, not so much. And that's even, you know, not considering the years where they had the randomizer, because, you know, there was a series of episodes where they had to have a randomizer on the TARDIS to make her land in random places because they were being chased.
It's a little inconsistent, too, because sometimes, like you said, he can get it to do exactly what he wants, and then there's other times where he's like, I just want to go, like, a couple of minutes ahead. And this is even later on, you know, that was kind of a big plot point later on, is that, you know, I just want to go a couple of minutes ahead, and it ends up being a couple of years or something.
Right. Well, I'm saying, though, in this, though, he's popping all about London.
Mm-hmm.
And like a a taxi service.
Yeah.
And pretty much landing where he wants to land.
Mm-hmm.
And in growing up with Doctor Who, that was kind of a new thing for me. And I thought it was a little unusual watching this episode, because it was like, okay, I don't remember her being that accurate with short trips. But that's nice that he can do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it saves him a ton on bus fare.
Right.
Because I'm not sure how much, you know, those double-decker buses go for, you know, when you have to mm-hmm. get a ride across London. But this should save him some coinage.
Yeah, definitely. Every little bit helps.
And, you know, does the doctor carry exact change? Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. But then gets Rose and Mickey the Idiot back to safety. And now what?
And then he says, hey, Rose, I got to take off, but you can come with me if you want.
Because much like the vampires in Twilight, I'm several centuries old and mm-hmm. you're a teenage girl. So yeah. Come join me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what teenage girls are supposed to do. And even if I'm not several decades old, if I'm just actually as old as I look like I'm in my mid-40s, and yeah. You're a teenage girl.
So it's a little creepy.
Yeah, that's always kind of got me with the Doctor and his companion. But traditionally, the Doctor hasn't been romantic with his companions.
Right.
So that's, you know, not too creepy, but, you know, teenage girl, 40-something-year-old guy.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
This one was a little bit weird. This one definitely was a little weird. And of course, she kind of says,
I got to stay here and take care of the idiot.
Yeah. Mickey's a little sad.
Yeah, he's cowering around her ankles. Still trying to figure out it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Which, you know, comes in handy, I guess, when you're traveling about time and space. But, you know.
And white trash.
And white trash. So the doctor says, all right, well, you know, all later. Right.
Peace out.
I'm out. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The TARDIS goes away. And then moments later, in a rare move, the TARDIS comes back. And the doctor says, oh, and did I mention it was a time machine?
And she says, oh.
Oh, well, hell. Yeah.
But I love this part because she's, you know, she goes to say goodbye to Mickey. And she goes, instead of saying goodbye, mm-hmm. she says, thanks.
Oh, thanks for what?
Exactly. And then she runs off.
So it's basically thanks for nothing.
Exactly. That's basically what she said to him.
And you said she was being a bitch when she did that.
I think so, yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's just a rubbish boyfriend.
Well, yeah, but I think
and
she's
so
a rubbish
she was like,
too.
You know, she's kind of realized you know, you're not all that. I was settling for you. This guy's got a time machine.
Yeah, but that's a hell of a way to dump somebody like that. Just,
yeah,
just
thanks
run
for nothing,
off
I'm
of
out.
This guy. And not only that, but
oh, tell my mom I'll be back.
Yeah. She had been on the phone with her mom just before this scene. And, you know,
who's in the middle of downtown and all the chaos.
Living plastics coming to life, shooting people. Clive, the website guy, died in the
Which I think
chaos.
Was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, completely ridiculous.
Clive?
So she's talking to her mom, and her mom's like, make sure you stay in the house. It's dangerous out here, blah, blah, blah. Rose starts laughing and hangs up the phone on her.
Well, she was happy that her mom was alive.
Yeah,
and her mom was being her mom. Aw, silly mom. She's got to be chatty
again.
Yeah,
but your mom calls you and says, hey, there's a disaster going on all around us. You don't
and
say,
well, you've just resolved
I'm fine,
it.
Thanks, but I got to go. I got to go. I got to make sure everything's safe and whatever. Something.
I got to go. I just fixed it all.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to tell her that.
I'm with the doctor.
But she just hangs up on her. I just thought that was kind of shitty.
So she just disappears. So her mom, as far as she knows, has been hurt mm-hmm. in the chaos. No clue.
Yep. Yeah. No clue.
But, so she's gone. Cue the credits. New theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is based off the old theme song.
Yeah.
But
Murray Gold did a great job.
Yeah.
With the themes.
Yeah, I love the new take on the theme.
Yeah.
In this
Very
this
symphonic, very mm-hmm. bold, very mm-hmm. energetic. I enjoyed that. But that was it.
Yep. That was basically it. And it was an okay episode. It was, it was a good intro. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't exactly call it a great episode.
Well, we meet people who are going to be with us for the next 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3 years probably, because we get some change-ups. Because there's that weird fourth season that we'll get into.
Yeah.
But these people last for a while. Or the key players.
Everything's kind of set up from the first episode. So it was a good intro, just as far as being an episode itself.
So you said,
not one of my favorites.
Okay, judging it without having seen, and you can't do that because you saw other episodes, then you came back to this episode.
I only saw the last two of that season, and they didn't make any sense to me.
Until you went back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. it's really hard to judge that just on its own. But just on its own, it's just okay. It's just an okay episode. Okay. The cheesy special effects really took a lot away from me. And even considering the classic episodes had the rubber suit guys and really cheesy effects, you know, you kind of take it for what it is.
You can see the blue screen edges on the old show.
But
the
set
pieces fall.
We're talking about like 70s and 80s, and that was kind of cutting edge at the time. For 2005, the special effects were really not very good.
I was just so happy to see Doctor Who again.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
I gave it a pass.
Yeah.
I honestly did not notice the special effects being, other than the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
The trash can kind of jumped out at me as being kind of like, wow, that's kind of not great.
No, I mean, when I first watched that episode, that was one of the things that stood out to me was, I was like, is this what the show's going to be like? It's going to be kind of cheesy and... Yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm not sure. At this point, I wasn't really sure if I was going to get into it that much.
It's kind of the level of special effects you'd see on one of these Saturday afternoon syndicated shows.
Yeah,
you would
basically.
Think. But then, it's hard for us to keep in mind that this is a kids' show in England.
Yeah, if you can call it that.
My kids love it, okay? My daughter's a teenager, and she's been watching it since she was, since... late 2005 when it started airing on a Sci-Fi channel.
I don't like to think of it as a kid's show so much as like all ages show.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's not a kid's show. It's not meant for kids. Like if you ever watched the Sarah Jane Adventures.
That's definitely.
That's a kid's show.
That's a spinoff of this, and I guess that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
That there's other shows that spin off from this. But yeah, they went two directions with it. They went one spinoff was like really, really kids show. And it actually aired on CBBC, which is, I guess, children's BBC. Their version of, you know, the Sesame Street Network.
Yeah, okay.
And then another spinoff went way more mature.
Yeah, Torchwood.
And you'd have to show that late at night here in the States.
Mm-hmm. If even at all.
They hit some subjects that I would not expect to see on American TV.
Definitely.
But
then again, there was the Starz version of Torchwood later on that...
But again, that's not broadcast.
Still. Yeah. It still went pretty far on the other end of the spectrum from kids' show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
To put it lightly.
Yeah. So anyway, though, this episode, though, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the greatest Doctor Who episode ever, but I liked it. I'd recommend it. I mean, if you're going to start the series, you can start here.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend starting here. Just if you watch this one and you're not too impressed with it, give it a couple more episodes.
Oh, definitely. It starts ramping up really fast.
Yeah, very fast. I would say probably about fourth, fifth episode.
You're hooked.
You're completely hooked.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
So, I guess we want to go ahead and wrap up, and I guess we'd like to take a minute to thank some of our awesome friends for helping make the show possible.
The wonderful theme song made by Daryl Lewis at flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
And we'll have a link in the show notes.
Yes. He does sci-fi, rock and roll, and motorcycles on his blog.
That's kind of awesome.
A weird mix, but it works, you know.
I followed the link out there today and saw the Yvonne Craig.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Blog. Yeah, that was nice.
It was about the first Orion slave girl and Batgirl and that whole thing. So.
Yeah. And motorcycles.
Batgirl,
she was on motorcycles, and then I guess she was with Elvis in a movie?
Yes. So she kind of hit all three topics of the blog's focus.
Okay.
So
definitely check that out. That's Flying Monkey Motogear.
Motogear.
Yeah. And like I said, I'll put the link up in the show notes on the website, so that'll be cool. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, and I guess we'll see you
next week.
You can hopefully soon find us on iTunes and on our website playingdoctorpodcast.com
and our Twitter, what do you call it, Twitter page, Twitter, I don't know, on Twitter.
Yeah, we haven't set up a Twitter yet. We have to get the Twitters.
Yeah.
Do we have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page. It doesn't have its own name yet.
Oh, we have
because
to get
we don't
25
have...
fans.
Yes. We
so
don't have
we'll
fans
link
yet.
To all this from the Playing Doctor Podcast website.
Yeah, and we'll put it up in the show notes and everything. We have a link to it. So.
All right. So I guess everybody come back next week and play Doctor with us.
Yeah.
Giggity.
Bye.
Thank you.
White trash.